We've been hesitant for a while, but again, it's good to see you. If you tuned in to us this morning, it's good to have you with us this morning. Again, if you're a member of the church and you're not here this morning and you're listening, we are going to try to meet with the men about 5 o'clock today before tonight's service. We've had a missionary from the Philippines call and give us a special request, and we'd like to sit and give her some thoughts and prayers about that. So if you'd like to come and be with us, come and be with us at 5 o'clock. Open your Bibles, if you would, to several places tonight, this morning. I want you to keep your Bibles handy. We're going to go several places. And let me say this before I get started. Some of you that I have talked to this week about how to be saved, some of you, I hope, are listening this morning. I would ask you to get a pen and pencil. I'll give you some verses, and I'll read part of verses, but I'd like for you to continue reading those. Nothing is any more important than to understand how we are saved. Amen. The Bible says, "For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those which believe." The Bible tells us that the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness. And people just doesn't understand sometimes that the gospel that we have, and Paul said that he preached the gospel of Christ. Now the Bible calls it in Acts the gospel of grace. Again in Romans chapter 1, the gospel of God. The Bible tells us if any man preaches any other gospel than the gospel of Christ, let him be accursed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he tells us that the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul defines the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's understanding that, and you, when you believe upon Christ, you have to believe upon his work that he came to do. And the work was done upon Calvary. His death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible calls in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the gospel of your salvation. In Revelation chapter 14, it says the everlasting gospel. And so this morning, we want to try to show you the gospel that saves you. And we want to preach this morning upon this thought, the gospel that was preached to Abraham. And because of the gospel that was preached to Abraham, Abraham became the father of our faith. Now keep your finger, if you would, in the book of Genesis. We're going to come back to chapter 22, but I want to go over chapter 15 a moment. I want to go to the New Testament a few minutes, and I want to get into several verses. And then I want to share with you the gospel that was preached to Abraham. Just a second, give us just a second. I think we're having audio difficulties. To a ball game the other day, he was coaching, and things got a little tight. And I think everybody heard me over the gym. So we want you to hear about this, amen. If we plug in the gospel, without believing the gospel, you'll never be saved. Amen. Right. The gospel has been around for a long time. 2,000 years before Jesus came, the gospel was preached to Abraham. Amen. We'll see that. Look, if you would, in Genesis chapter 15. And remember that Abraham was childless. But God promised him that he would have a child. He began to get older and older and older. And you know the story how that he tried to do it on his own through his handmaiden Hagar. Ishmael was brought about. But that was not God's promised child. God's promised child was between him and Sarah. Sarah got 90 years old. She was beyond the age of childbirth. And yet God gave them a child, the promised child. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 5, and he brought them forth, this is God, abroad, and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So here he promised to Abraham that his seed was going to carry through, and it was going to number like the number of stars. In another place, like the sands of the sea. Now, what he's telling him is that through him, not only, and we'll see this in some of the scriptures in the New Testament, not only are the circumcision, he's the father of the circumcision, which was Israel, a sign between Israel and God, but also he would be the father of faith to the uncircumcision. In other words, the gospel that he believed was going to be brought down to us that are uncircumcised as far as Israel is concerned, and yet we can be saved through believing the gospel as well. And notice in verse number 6 what the Bible says. And we found this quoted several times in the New Testament. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now turn, if you would, in the book of Romans, chapter number 4. Look back in chapter 1 first. Paul said in verse number 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse number 6, without faith it's impossible to please God, but they that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In other words, it's by faith. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what we find out is, salvation comes to those who believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They believe it not only with their head, but in their heart, as Romans chapter number 10 tells us, that if we believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have salvation through our faith. It's provided by God's grace, but we attach ourselves to it by believing in our heart the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now look, if you would, in chapter 4. That's how Abraham became the father of our faith, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believeth God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Not to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Just as when the gospel was preached to Abraham, and he believed the gospel, and therefore it was counted to him for righteousness, when we believe the gospel, then it is counted to us for righteousness. Look on up, if you would, in verse 11, that same chapter. Down there, the last part of it says that he might be the father of all them that believe. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Now the word imputed means divinely transferred. The fact, the moment that you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart, that Christ came as a Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary for your sins, and he was buried 3 days and three nights, come up, resurrected, went or ascended to the right hand of the Father, that is the gospel. He did that to make do a substitute for us. And we'll see here in a moment how the gospel was relayed out in the life of Abraham in just a moment. But notice, if you would, in verse 12. and the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Look on, if you would, in verse number 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. In other words, he was promised he would do that. Now, all the way from the book of Genesis chapter 3, and the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we were promised the seed of a woman that would come. The seed of a woman meant something unusual because all other people are born from the seed of man. But this one's going to be born seed of the woman. In other words, there'll be no man that will be involved in the birth of this son. This will be a miraculous birth. It will be a birth of a virgin woman, as Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 reveals to us. Now, look back, if you would, again in verse chapter 4, in verse number 20, talking about Abraham still. He staggered not at the promise of God, though through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, and now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. In other words, putting our faith and trust in Christ, in his finished work upon the cross of Calvary, through the gospel that we preach, that's how people are saved. They are saved when they believe that gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now, turn in your Bibles again, if you would, to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. You say, well, I'm not so sure that Abraham was preached the gospel. Well, let's see what God says. In verse number 6 of chapter 3 of Galatians. Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. We're reminded again. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. In other words, if we believe the gospel as Abraham believed the gospel, then therefore we are saved as well. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto who? Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In other words, God had promised that through Abraham, through his seed, would come through a promised seed, and through that promised seed would come the seed of the woman, the seed that was predicted to come, that would be Savior of the world, that would come and that would be Christ. Now, notice if you would as well that, now notice that the gospel was preached there to him. Now, turn if you would to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. I promise we'll get back to Genesis. In Hebrews chapter number 11, we quoted verse 1, we quoted verse 6, but I want you to see verse 13. This is many that died in faith, many people that had faith. They didn't see everything that God said, but they believed what God said. Now, we have not seen Jesus. We did not see him die upon the cross of Calvary in person. We did not see him buried. We did not see him resurrected, but we believe it by the preaching of the gospel through the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 13. Now look if you, verse 17, I'm sorry. Notice if you would in chapter 11, in verse number, chapter 11, verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So Abraham left his mother and father, his homeland, and he went to where God had directed him. And when God told him that through him, even though he had no children, all the nations would be blessed, he believed that. And he believed God. He didn't understand how God was going to do it, but he believed it. We don't understand how God saves us, but when we put our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, he saves us, and he's able to born us again. We don't understand all about it, but what we do is understand that he has promised that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we have the promise of God. Now, notice if you would in Hebrews chapter number 11, again verse number 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What was the promises? That through his son, that there would be salvation offered to all the world. Not only the circumcised, but the uncircumcised as well. To all nations, even the heathen nations, would be able to receive him by faith. Look, if you would, in verse 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, here in chapter 22, when we go over there in a moment, we're going to see where God asked Abraham to offer his son up as a sacrifice. Somebody said, why would Abraham do that? Because he believed God, and he believed that God was going to, through his son, his chosen son, his miraculous son, the one that God was going to give him, that through him, and it was, even though he had Ishmael through the handmaid, that was man's doing, flesh doing. The child of the spirit in Galatians talks about the spirit, child of the spirit and child of the flesh. Isaac was a child of the spirit. Through him was promised the seed that would come and be salvation to the world. So therefore, when God told him to take his only life, Abraham was willing to do it. But he believed that if he took his life, God was able to bring him up from the dead. Amen. Now, look if you would in chapter number 22. Oh, wait, before you do, go to John chapter 8 while we're in the New Testament. And then we'll go to chapter 22 of Genesis. John chapter number 8. Notice if you would in verse 56. When Jesus told them the Pharisees and so forth this, they wanted to stone him. In verse 56, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see what? My day, and he what? Saw it and was glad. Jesus said, you know what? Way over there, when the gospel was preached to Abraham, he saw my day. And when he saw it, he rejoiced. And what was his day? His day was that he saw Christ, one that God was going to come, and he was going to die, be buried, and rose again. He believed the gospel that God showed him. And he believed, and Jesus said, when he saw my day, he rejoiced in my day. Amen? Now turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 22, real quickly. In verse number 1, the Bible says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. The word tempt there means he put him through a trial of faith. In other words, he's going to try his faith. He says, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, the land of Moriah, he was going to choose the Mount of Moriah. The Mount of Moriah was the same place that we call Golgotha and Calvary, where they were found, okay? And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, isn't it amazing, the third day? Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his son, or his eyes, and saw the place afar off. Now for 3 days, picture this, 3 days, Abraham's traveling with his son. 3 days and three nights, he knows that he's going to offer him up. And so when he gets there, in a few minutes, he's going to be asked to put him up on there and take his life. For 3 days and three nights, he was as good as dead to his father. But he believed that if he ended up having to kill his son, that because God promised, he's going to resurrect him from the dead. And he had that belief. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, you can underline that word worship there. That's the first time it's found. We're not going to deal with it. Worship means the worth of someone. How much do you worship God? Well, how much do you value God? As he was talking, the first and greatest commandment. How much do you love God? Who is God to you? Well, the worth of God to you will determine how you worship God. Look, if you would, in verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son Isaac. Now, notice that Isaac had to carry his wood. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now, notice that they were both in agreement to go together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and he said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now notice that he had confidence that God would provide the lamb. In other words, God would resurrect his son, or he would provide a substitute. He understood a little bit about the gospel. Verse number 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. Seest thou not, seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh. That it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now the word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. In verse number 15, real quickly. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. Thy seed shall be all nations, be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, let me give you just a few things, and I'll close, but I want you to get these things. The gospel that Abraham not only was preached the gospel, but he had a living illustration of the gospel. First of all, look big, if you would, in verse number 2. It says that he offered him. There was a predetermined plan of what God was going to do. And Abraham knew that he was going to have to offer his son. In Acts chapter 2, and keep your finger there a moment, and I'm going to go to a couple of New Testament verses, so keep in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 23, the Bible says, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands and crucified and slain. In other words, God had a predetermined plan what he was going to do to save mankind. He was going to send his son. His son was going to have to die upon the cross. He's going to have to be offered up for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says that Peter says it was from the foundation of the world that the lamb was slain. And so here we have a predetermined plan that was already known to Abraham that son was going to have to be offered up. Not only that, but also we had a predetermined person, already determined who that person would be. It would be Abraham's only son whom he loveth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In other words, Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. God spoke upon in Matthew chapter 17 when Jesus took Peter, James, and John upon the Mount of Transfiguration, and he spoke and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. It was already predetermined what was going to happen. It was already predetermined who it was going to happen to. God's only Son. From the foundation of the world, that Lamb of God was slain. He was already as good as on the cross. And God preached it to Abraham in chapter 15. So when Abraham got to chapter 22, he now had his son. And he was told to go and offer up his only begotten son. Look, if you would, as well in verse 2 through 4. There was a predetermined place. Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, one of those mountains, was where Calvary and Golgotha was. And so therefore, it was a place where God would provide. And sure enough, Luke chapter 23, if you'll turn there real quickly, Luke chapter 23, in verse 33, read with me there. In Luke 23:33, I'm sorry. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand, one on the left. It was predetermined where Jesus was going to be slain. And isn't it a coincidence? No coincidence. Abraham took his son, his only begotten son, to the same mount to offer him up. Now, notice if you would, not only was it a predetermined place, but it was a predetermined price that was going to have to be paid. If you look back in chapter 22, too, it says they're going to have to be a burnt offering. Somebody's going to have to be sacrificed, and it was going to be his son. The Bible tells us that life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, real quickly. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. In other words, there was a price had to be paid. God knew what that price was going to be. The price was going to be his son, and it was going to be the blood. And the blood that was shed. Look back, if you would, in Colossians chapter 1, where Brother Eric was. I'm going to read a verse or two right below where he stopped. Notice if you would in verse number 19. Chapter 1 of Colossians. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So what you need to understand is God had a predetermined price that he was going to ask his son to do. His son was going to come to die. Upon him, Isaiah 53, our stripes were going to be upon him. Our transgressions were going to be upon him. Our sins was going, and iniquities were going to be cast upon him. And upon him, he would die in our stead, because that was a price that he came to pay. Not only that, there was a process predetermined. Now, notice if you would, I pointed out in verse number 3 that Isaac had to clave the wood. He had to carry the wood. Look, if you would, in Galatians chapter 3, real quickly. Galatians chapter 3. Notice if you would, in verse number 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. Look, if you would, in Philippians chapter number 2, real quickly. Philippians 2, verse number 8. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of what? There was a predetermined process by which God was going to provide the gospel, and it was going to be through the cross, through the wood, the tree that he was going to hang upon. Cursed is everyone that hangs upon the tree. And therefore, he was going to hang upon the tree, and he who had no sin was going to become a curse for us. Now, look if you would, in verse number 6 of chapter 22. Again, there was a pact between the Father and the Son, and both of them was together. Now, notice if you would, in John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Look, if you would, in verse number 29. He says, and he that sent me is with me.
The Father hath not left me long, for I do always those things
that please him. In other words, he and the Father was going to be one. They were going to be in agreement. Now, Isaac didn't understand. He knew he was carrying the wood. He knew he was carrying the fire. But he didn't know where the sacrifice was. He didn't understand. Jesus, it was done predetermined, the pact between him and the Father. He agreed to give his life, and the Father loved him and was going to make his name a name above all other names because of his willingness to come and die for our sins. Not only that, but knows the path that the wood was laid upon Isaac in verse number 6. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 19 that the cross was laid upon Jesus, and he bore his cross, and he had to carry his cross. Not only that, there was predetermined provision. In verse number 8, when Isaac turned and asked him where the sacrifice was, he said, God shall provide. God knew the sin of Adam did not come as a surprise with God. God knew Adam would sin. He knew sin would come upon all the creation of the world. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. By one man, death has been passed on to all of us. And in Romans chapter 5, God made a provision that his Son coming and living as man upon this earth would live above sin. And therefore, when he offered himself to God, he offered himself as a predetermined sacrifice. That's what the word propitiation means. Turn in your Bibles and I'll finish explaining that. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, real quickly. About to finish, but I want you to see, I want to take you a couple points right here. 1 John chapter 2. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2. And he is a propitiation, that means our substitute for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of what? You know, the whole world could be saved. The only thing separating them and salvation is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we keep preaching the gospel. Amen. Somebody said, well, why don't we do something else to attract big crowds? Why don't we do something else to get people in? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Because it's still the preaching of the gospel. Amen. God's not changed his mind from the time of Adam 2,000 years before Christ to 2,000 years after Christ. We're still preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And people are still saved by the gospel because he is the only propitiation we have. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, notice, if you would, in verse number 26. The Bible says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of who?
Himself.
In other words, he did it himself. So there was a predetermined provision that was going to be made. Then there was a predetermined promise. Now get this, and I'm closing. The predetermined promise was this. Whoever will believe in this gospel that is preached of Jesus shall be saved. And those that will be saved shall have everlasting life. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. That is what Abraham saw.
Amen.
An empty cross. Amen. One that had someone on it dying for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
And 3 days and three nights, he walked with his son, his only begotten son, the son in whom he loved, knowing that he was dead. And he was going to have to lay him up and he was going to have to kill him after waiting 100 years to see him. But he believed that God was going to raise him from the dead.
Amen.
And Paul wrote to us in Romans chapter 10 and said, listen, you need to confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth And the Bible says that if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. So see, it's faith. And when we believe by faith, the Bible says it's imputed to us for righteousness. Not that we have lived such good lives, but Jesus lived such a good life. And when he offered himself and he said, Father, I've come to do thy will. Not my will, but thy will. And he offered himself to the cross of Calvary. And right before he gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. And now whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God that we have the gospel of grace, the everlasting gospel, the gospel of your salvation, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. And if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Only one way you can be saved. Amen. Through the Christ. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. Those of you who may be listening, I hope some that I've talked to this week are listening. And if you're listening, I hope that you understand what it takes to be saved. And you will believe in the finished work of Christ that was predetermined from the foundation of the world. The whole process, the place, the person, the propitiation, all those things was done planned. And the promise is to each and every one of us. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Would you step out and receive him today? Do you believe what the Word of God teaches about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection? He was God the Son and came to die and took on the form of man and died in our place. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and everybody who looked and believed lived. As Christ is lifted up, you will live this morning if you'll believe. Amen. Would you stand? Get a song of invitation. Are you here this morning? God is dealing with your heart. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted him. And this morning, God is dealing with your heart to step out and put your faith and trust in Christ. And he has revealed to you the gospel. The Bible says that the gospel be hid is hid to them that are lost. The old devil tries to blind your mind to the gospel. Anything else will do. But he don't like the preaching of the gospel because it's still the gospel that saves. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but those who believe is the power of God and salvation. Would you believe this morning? Would you trust in him as we sing?